Best Ford of Nashua, our President's Day sale is going on now. Get F-150s with discounts up to 16 grand off MSRP. You heard right. Not 10 or 12 grand. We're talking 16 grand off MSRP. Looking for a Ford-certified pre-owned truck or SUV? Nobody sells more Ford Blue Advantage vehicles in New England than Best Ford. We're number one for a reason. Remember, the best will sell first. See us today at thebestford.com. Go to www.bestford.com/special-event-disclosures for full details.
B-Pod Studios.
To sit up there and to say that Kevin Durant got punked. Kevin Durant, of all people, considering what he brings to the table offensively, that he got punked by anybody. Anybody. This is a brother that can drop 50 in his sleep. Come on, KP. That's too harsh. Yeah. I can't believe I'm telling you that something is too harsh. That is entirely to say he got punked. That's harsh.
When Stephen A. hits that falsetto, that's anybody.
You've gone too far.
Oh, yeah. How did Kendrick Perkins goes in there and just says, you know what? KD got punked. And, Stephen A. Smith. Incredulous. What? Split screen. No, you can't say that. Oh, I love Stephen A. Smith. In times like this, I like how he just, because, I mean, obviously he's, you know, a man who is incredulous when someone talks about his guy KD that way. But I got to be honest, I enjoyed every single moment. I'm still enjoying it. Everything that's come out since that game, not just the highlights and the way that they played, but Kyrie Irving just losing his mind afterwards and talking about how he's, you know, what are you talking about being disrespectful to the fans? Why don't you talk to the fans about being disrespectful? And it's like, no, you're the one who flipped the middle bird. You're the one. Well, I don't think about the fans. I don't care about the fans. Well, all you've done is talked about the fans since the post game. You obviously have yelled for them to blank your blank. You've been talking about it in post game. You won't shut up about it. And that's why Kyrie Irving is the best villain. He's the best villain. He's everything we've wanted. This series is everything we've wanted and more. Listen, could they lose? Absolutely, they could lose. I predicted 7 games the Celtics would win it, but you know what? It could go anyway. And it's just the same thing. I keep thinking about that series against LeBron a couple of years ago where the Celtics won the first 2 games. They just looked like fundamentally a better team at the time than the Cavs were, but they had LeBron James. And that's why this team, you know, say what you will, but they've got Kevin Durant, who is quieted, and much to the credit of the Celtics defense, that's not going to happen. It may happen one more time in this series. It ain't going to happen it's definitely not going to happen tomorrow night.
He's not shooting, what was it, 9 out of 24? I forget the exact number. 9 out of 24, I think it was in game one. Like, that's not happening again. And the Celtics had to win the game where he was off, and they did. And, like, I think they did everything you can do to Durant. Durant said before the series, and I'm paraphrasing here, he said something like, well, Jason Tatum's just one of those tough matchups, and you just got to defend him tough and hope for the best, right? That's what he said about Tatum.
Yeah.
I think the Celtics do the same thing with Durant. It's like, look, they were all over him on that final shot. Would anybody have been shocked if Durant made that shot?
Nope.
Like, those are the kind of shots he makes. That's what make him Kevin Durant. That's what makes him one of the greatest players in the league, the history of the league. But when it comes to this series, I do buy into the idea that getting the Nets, as against facing the Nets as I was from the Celtics standpoint, like from an entertainment standpoint and our standpoint,
through the roof.
I wanted it. But for the Celtics making a long run, I thought it was stupid getting Brooklyn. I thought that was a dumb decision, and I thought they'd wind up regretting it, and maybe they will. If they lose to the Nets, that will have been the wrong decision. But if they advance, I do buy into the idea that this could wind up being a springboard for them, because the teams that knock off Durant traditionally, and there haven't been a lot of them, the teams that knock off Durant, they usually go on to win the title.
Well,
they usually do.
Think about what it means for who Jason Tatum is. Like, if you were able to come out of this series and people look at Jason Tatum and go, you know what? He was the best dude on the court during that series. I mean, immediately, just think of what that means for him and sure, how people think of the Boston Celtics, people wanting to play for the Boston Celtics. You know what I mean? It means more than just ego.
Do you think he needs to be the best player to win the series?
Wasn't the best player in game one, and they won.
You see, here's where you and I might disagree on that, is because as great as Kyrie was, you have to give Tatum credit for what he did defensively
on Durant.
On Durant.
That's true. And Kyrie's awful defensively. So that's true.
So
I mean, listen, is it six of one, half dozen of another? Maybe. But I think you got to give the edge to Jason Tatum because on both sides of the court, he was phenomenal.
I mean, Kyrie scored 18 in the fourth, and yeah. Tatum was invisible in the fourth until the winning shot.
He was.
So, I mean, I think Kyrie was the best player on the floor, but I hear what you're saying. I mean, Tatum's a much better two-way player.
Just real
much
quick,
better.
Nobody could stop Kyrie. Not Marcus Smart, not Al Horford.
Well, I don't know if you saw that chart that came out of the buckets that Kyrie made as opposed to
the ESPN graphic.
Yeah, the ESPN graphic.
I have it in front of me. I'm borderline positive it's wrong. I'm borderline positive that graphic is wrong.
Okay, because what it says...
Because the NBA.com box score does not match those numbers at all.
Okay, because what this ESPN graphic that I saw going around yesterday, and to be honest, I can't immediately remember who was covering who at every single possession. I can't. So this is one of those things where I kind of took ESPN's word for it. And maybe it is wrong, but it was jaw-dropping. And the way that this is written, and we'll fact-check it and see if it's true, because I saw it going around a lot yesterday, was that out of all the points that Kyrie Irving scored, when Marcus Smart was on him, he was only able to score 5. And I think he was, one for three.
That's the graphic ESPN has.
I can count like 10 points.
I see 10 points. I remember 2-3. I mean, he hit the 3 in the final minute on face. Marcus Smart.
They give him credit for that.
And there was another 3 where Smart fell asleep on defense. Now, maybe, I don't know if he was the closest defender.
Well, because that's the way they do it, is the closest defender gets the credit for it.
But I always thought that's, and maybe I have the wrong impression of the NBA.com box score, but I'm looking at the breakdown right now on NBA.com, and it says 10 points. It's 2 for 5 overall, 2 for 4 on threes, plus the 4 free throws on Kevin Durant when Marcus Smart was matched up.
Let's be consistent, though.
I'm sorry, on Kyrie, rather.
It comes down to one defensive stand in the NBA, right? Don't these guys just have to get one stop?
Yeah.
The Celtics got it.
They did it. And that was...
They didn't use a timeout, and they went to the 2-for-1 beforehand.
But it wasn't Smart. It was Horford who completely blew up that whole possession.
To your point...
Which is great. Their whole team defense is great.
Yeah, but to your point, when Robert Williams is on the floor, he's that guy. Now it's Horford. They're just playing really good help defense, where if you watch the final play, where I said Tatum was trailing... I only say Tatum was trailing because if you listen to the damn audio, it's Grandy that says it. It's like, oh, Tatum was trailing from the play where Durant didn't even notice him, didn't even talk to Kyrie, and he blew right by both of them.
Yeah, Kyrie's gotten a lot of crap on that play, and he deserves it because Kyrie could have done it.
Durant's got to talk to him.
Durant was really bad defensively on that play, too. That's
so
true.
I've watched that play, obviously, like 20 times.
He's just asleep and standing at the top of the key.
No question. But the one thing that I heard, or at least I read, I forget who it was. I don't think it was Corrales who we're going to have on, but there was one writer who wrote that after they made the defensive stop and they're about to go down court, that there were several of them that were looking to the side, like, do we call a timeout?
Yeah.
I didn't quite notice that as much. Yeah. It almost seemed like they knew that if they were able to get that stop,
the Nets would have had substitutions. Right. They wouldn't have had the matchup they wanted.
It was the perfect matchup. Yep. And as I said, out of all the great things that happened during that 30 seconds, I think my favorite was that Ime Udoka did not freak out and call timeout. Because you're right. It would have gotten everyone, what's his name, who's obviously a bad defender, was still in there.
Yeah, he's just off an ACL injury. That's
yeah. Dragic and Kyrie. They would have taken, if there was a timeout, they would have subbed Kyrie up.
Yep, there's no question. But they were smart. They kept him going.
Yep.
And
they fast break, too. It was a rebound, 10 seconds to go.
They pushed the ball.
Jalen pushed it right inside. Yep. It was a phenomenal play.
So I'm
both ways, defense and offense.
I'm always a big believer in not calling. First of all, I'm a big believer in a coach being consistent.
Mm-hmm.
Either because you don't want what may or may not have happened. I didn't happen to notice it. I'm not saying it's wrong. I just didn't happen to notice guys looking at the sideline. That's what you want to avoid. You want everybody to be on the same page. So I'm a big believer in a coach being consistent. You always call the timeout or you don't. You know, Udoka had the timeout in his back pocket. If the thing is a mess and it's all helter-skelter, you have to call timeout and stop it.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm a big believer in not doing it for exactly what you said, Joe. There's no substitutions. The Nets can't set their defense. And, you know, you don't waste 6 seconds getting up the court, then call a timeout, scheme something up, and then, you know, it's just Jason Tatum dribbling the basketball in a fadeaway, you know, jump shot.
Yeah.
So I happen to be a big believer in that. I think Udoka had a great day in game one. I think that was the number one indication of it. I think playing Tatum 45 minutes is not something I anticipated, but I think that was a great decision.
And he's 24, man.
The games games are so spread out.
Yeah.
You got 72 hours before the next game. I hope he plays another 45 on tomorrow.
You know what? That's been a question all year. How sustainable is this? I agree with you.
What,
I
playing Tatum big minutes?
But these, their age right now, you've got to take advantage of
them. I agree. You have to.
At 24 years old,
Durant, I think you have to look differently, right? He's a guy that you need late. But I would play Tatum. And the only reason why Smart and Brown didn't play is because they got in foul trouble.
So I'm trying to think. A-Rod was a good one. As far as
A-Rod's
as
great
far as like
parallel.
Perfect villains. And God, Kyrie is so perfect because he's so good. And as I said, the hypocrisy is off the charts. Mr. Peace, love, and, you know, we should all burn sage. And, you know, and then him like flipping middle face. Oh, right. It's the best. It's just, it's perfect. And as I said, he's going to be great no matter what. Don't buy into this narrative that the people of Boston booing is going to make him better. No, no, no. The guy's great. And he can go off at any time that he wants to. We know that about Kyrie Irving. He can be a wizard. So why not just make him pissy after the games? Why not get you possibly 2-for-2 where you win the game and you get this bitchiness afterwards and the soundbites you need?
Well, I'll give you the answer, because if you lose, then he's really going to take a big victory lap on you. He might have done it anyway, okay. but you know, you're now asking for him to dance on your grave.
But even the victory,
do if he wins.
Even the victory laps are pretty entertaining.
Oh, yeah. Well, yeah, for us, I don't know how entertaining they are for a fan.
He's done everything but defecate on the damn leprechaun at this point. Yeah. You know what I mean?
I mean, he's perfect. So, okay, definitely A-Rod, because, I mean, A-Rod was a dick off the field as well. I mean, and then the face wash and all that stuff. There's so many great reasons that to hate, because A-Rod was excellent, too, and he's broke your heart. He's ripped it out. Same thing with LeBron James. LeBron James, you know, he's so conceited in his post-game stuff. You know, that's another reason you hated the dude, and also because he was excellent.
But
those are the requirements.
The LeBron one's waned a little bit, right? You acknowledge that. There used to be a real hatred of LeBron. I don't know if it's because he's in the Western Conference now, or I don't know if it's just kind of dissipated.
Game 6 in Boston changed everything for me. The Celtics were up 3-2.
Because you respected him.
No. That's when I hated him more.
Really?
That's when he went to supervillain status. Because it was the first time he took your heart and ripped it out.
Yeah.
And that makes him a supervillain. I'm talking A-tier Boston villains.
And you disagree on Peyton? Because Peyton was, I think people look at him now and they're like, Peyton's kind of likable now. But people hated Peyton.
Peyton's not.
I hated Peyton.
But what did he do off the field that made you hate
him? Well, commercials.
There's a little bit of that.
He's you know, kind of dorky.
Well,
but
the family thing, his dad, I don't know.
He was like such a baby and airing out his receivers
rules because of what the Patriots did.
I mean,
to
again,
help him.
Again, in retrospect, was it the most rational thing? Maybe not, but I could not stand Peyton for a long time. I think whether it was fair or not to him as a person, I don't know, but he was a supervillain here for a while.
See, to me, he was a villain for one reason, and that was because he was great at what he did, and he did rip your heart out. But he wasn't a hypocrite like Kyrie is, and he wasn't like a smug a-hole.
But he did take up all the money A-Rod to make his team work.
He was a bad teammate, too. Like, he aired out a lot of his teammates.
Mike Vanderjack, he did to him, that was terrible. Oof. I mean, I know he's an idiot kicker, but whatever.
Liquored up idiot kicker.
Johnny Damon's a guy that went and played for the
Johnny Damon. I'll never fault someone who leaves for more money.
I'm with Rich on this.
Yeah, he's a guy that left and played for the competitor.
Somebody offers you more money, you take it.
Yep. And Ellsbury did it too, and nothing. Nobody hated him. You know.
Well, I mean, I think we all kind of dodged a bullet with that one. So we kind of fell apart. But no. I can't think of a villain in Boston sports.
Well, people say Bill Laimbeer and going back to the 80s.
Okay, that's a great one. Now, if you want to go back, Bill Laimbeer was perfect.
Yeah.
Perfect, because that guy was really good, and he was a dick. Like, he was like a real jerk. And all the post-game comments. And dirty and whiny.
Yeah.
Now you're talking. That's an A-tier level Boston sports villain. No question. But I can't think that might be it. That, you know what? I would put Laimbeer, at the top? Him and Kyrie, I think I would probably have hated just the same way.
Dan said, I mean, you think with the Bruins, like Ulf Samuelson's a big one. You know, maybe Matt Cook more recent.
But Matt Cook wasn't like also – Matt Cook, obviously, awful what he did to Savard. That was bad. But
it's different because it's
he's not like a guy that like ripped your heart out like in a big game.
It was a dirty hack, cheap play. It wasn't this – supremely talented guy
Samuelson, I would almost put in the same boat, although much obviously greater to a greater extent. Ulf Samuelson.
What about Roger Clemens?
I think Clemens is a pretty good one.
You know, was here, twilight of his career, signs with Toronto and then goes to the Yankees. It was pretty bad.
I don't know. Let's go to Pat real quick on line one. Pat, what's up, man?
Hey, Rich. Rich, were you alive in the 2000s? Because Peyton Manning was the most hated guy around. He was a little bitch. Everybody, the NFL changed the rules in 04 right. after the AFC Championship game.
But I think what
everyone
Rich
hated him.
But what Rich is saying,
he rehabbed his image.
What Rich is saying is it's irrational. I think is what you're saying in retrospect. Because at least about the guy himself, which I acknowledge it might be. I like Peyton a lot more
besides
now than
the
I used
to his wife or whatever it was.
He didn't like pick fights with that's fans. True, you know what I mean? Yeah. It's like listen, he's a good villain. Is he an A tier? Is he a perfect villain?
I
don't know.
I personally would put him there,
good.
but I at least get what you're saying about his personality.
Okay, when you see his face, does he make you angry?
People hated his face.
He's like the good guy villain.
People hated his
like
face.
And maybe the rehabbing of the image is that. But like, I look at Lambert and it's like, oh, you a-hole.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, he's just
People hated Manning's crying. What did Bill Simmons, not to give Bill Simmons too much credit, but what did he call it? The Manning face.
Yeah, Manning face.
You know, so like.
Well, I thought that was Eli Manning. That's the derp face.
Well, it was both. They both have that same stupid Comer face.
When I think Manning face, I always thought Eli of the.
I think it started with Peyton. I think that's
Peyton overthrows somebody on a fourth down, he's kicking the dirt and he's all mad. Like that was great. I love.
Then he blamed the receiver.
Yeah, supposed right. to go this way. Yeah.
Somebody said PK Subban. I love PK Subban. I love PK Subban.
I don't think he was a hateable.
Like he's somebody. If he was here, you would have loved PK Subban.
I don't think it's because that whole Montreal Chara stuff. I don't know.
I'm sure many other fans would say Brad Marchand.
He'd be a
villain elsewhere.
He's a great one.
Roberto Luongo? No, come on. He was a whiner, but he was. I mean, dude, you owned him. In the end, you owned him.
That also was so brief. That was one series.
What
that's
about
not
a coach?
I
know that we're talking players here, but is there a coach like Rex Ryan?
He
was too likable.
Yeah, like Don Shula years ago, but the Pats weren't good enough then.
I'm sure there's some. We'll take your call. 617-779-0985. Excuse me. 617-779. What is it? 779-0985?
0985.
Sorry. I mean, I always had a brain fart. But we have John Corrales for the Boston Sports Journal. He will talk to us next, talking about tomorrow night's game. And everything Kyrie, Kevin Durant, and so on.
At Best Ford of Nashua, our President's Day sale is going on now. Get F-150s with discounts up to 16 grand off MSRP. You heard right. Not 10 or 12 grand. We're talking 16 grand off MSRP. Looking for a Ford-certified pre-owned truck or SUV? Nobody sells more Ford Blue Advantage vehicles in New England than Best Ford. We're number one for a reason. Remember, the best will sell first. See us today at thebestford.com.
Go to www.bestford.com/special-event-disclosures for full details.
Hi, I'm Jim Burns, sales manager from AAA Work Trucks, your local truck upfitter in Billerica. We all know your truck setup is critical to your success on the job, so choose AAA Work Trucks to upfit your vehicle. We sell and install virtually everything your commercial truck needs, from van shelving to ladder racks, lift gates, toolboxes, power inverters, and much more. Call 866-783-6222, and we'll come up with a solution that works best for you. Visit us at AAAWorkTrucks.com. That's AAAWorkTrucks.com.
Tutcher and Rich.
That's got to be a soul-killing exercise.
98.5, the Sports Hulk.
8 seconds. Kick out. Left side. Smart up picks. Finds the cutter. Tatum spins. Lays it up and in to beat the buzzer. It's over. It's over. The Celtics have won the ball game at the buzzer. Marcus Smart up fake the three. That killed the final seconds. Tatum joined the play late. Spun at the rim and scored. They will check the clock, but it reads double zeros right now.
Did somebody's grandma just make a sweet potato pie? Damn!
Did he get rid of it in time? The basket is good. The Celtics have won the ball game.
It's funny, that clip went viral, and I had friends texting me from around the country. It's like, who's this guy talking about sweet potato pie? do I have a treasure trove of clips to send you, sir? If you like your NBA color commentators just randomly mentioning food, Cedric Maxwell is your guy.
Yeah, I always wonder the protocol. Like, when are you making a sandwich, and when are ketchup bottles exploding, and when is it sweet potato pie? That's what I always wanted.
What a great call. I was in New York when that game happened, and the next morning, I don't know if you saw the back of the New York Post, it's pretty great. There's a picture of Kyrie Irving flipping the middle finger. And then the big picture is, of course, Jason Tatum with his hands up in victory. And it says, bye bye, birdie. It says, Kyrie flips off Celtics fans and Tatum and company steal game one at the buzzer. It's awesome. I love how the post, like, you know, doesn't even blur the bird. All right, go all in. Love it, New York Post.
Were you a little surprised on the broadcast they weren't?
That they weren't blurring anything?
Yeah, like when they were once they had time to go to the replay, I was kind of like, oh, that's interesting. They're not blurring it out.
Good for them. Like,
I agree. I like that they didn't blur it out. I just kind of expected ESPN owned by Disney or ABC or whatever it is. I thought they might, and they didn't.
You know what's funny? I didn't even think about that at the time, and now that you mentioned it, that is somewhat shocking that they let that.
Yeah, I wasn't offended. I'm just saying I just noticed it.
Yeah, it was fantastic. All right, John Corrales, he's the Celtics beat writer for the BostonSportsJournal.com. He joins us on the Volkswagen Dealers Expert Hotline. John, Kyrie is truly the perfect sports villain, correct? I mean, everything he's done over this last game, I was telling the guys, you know, my hatred for him had dimmed a little bit, but that just put it up to...
It's back.
It is back, and it is back with the fire of a thousand suns.
Yeah, he plays that role pretty well, I'd say. It's kind of interesting. Kyrie is super, super interesting to me. I think the psychology of Kyrie is something that you could spend days, months kind of getting into. But when it comes to him in Boston, man, it just brings it out of him. And obviously the Celtics fans, I think the comments, the birds, the all of that stuff, all it does is just egg people on. So, you know, he might say one thing, but he's playing into the whole thing. And the last thing I think that you want to do if you're, you know, you got the rabbit ears is to play into it, because it just makes everything louder. So game two, if he thought game one was bad, game two, I'm pretty sure it's going to be even worse.
So, John, the big talk right now is about how Durant is not going to be that quiet in game two. And to be quite honest, I would think that, you know, if you're the Nets, your first goal is to try to get him going early. How do you think that that's going to work out? What did you see about the defense that was able to hold him to not an astronomical level of points that he's usually expected to make?
The Celtics did a great job with, you know, active hands that they didn't. They, even though there were a lot of fouls, they didn't foul Kevin Durant a lot. Mm. And, you know, when he turned and he raises the ball up, I mean, he does have to go a long way from his dribble, which is down around his knees, to where he releases the ball, which is about almost rim length, rim height, the way with his high release. That ball has to travel a long way. And I think the Celtics have figured out that if you can just get your hand in there as he's starting to raise the ball up, you're going to get a lot of steals. You're going to get a lot of opportunities for turnovers. And that's what they did, especially early on. Now he's going to adjust because he's, you know, a basketball god. And I think that's going to be the thing. And he might actually bait the Celtics into some of those again if they try to do the same stuff, and you might see some fouls. So I think the Celtics have to be wary that, you know, you can try it. You can try the same game plan and see if it works, but you have to have a plan B real, real quick. But I thought they did a great job. They were very, very physical with him. They bodied him up. They sent two at appropriate times, but not all the time. And I thought it was a great, great, great defensive game plan. I mean, this was not just an off night for Kevin Durant. The Celtics pushed him into an off night.
John, what went wrong with the defending Kyrie there at the end? How was he able to get his in the fourth quarter?
Well, I mean, I think the Celtics were just making some mistakes. I mean, early on, Daniel Theis was in drop coverage and he fell way, way back, and it got Kyrie going. There were some times where they defended him well, and by that time, he was already cooking. And when Kyrie's cooking, you know, say what you want about the guy, but he'll hit tough shots, and he'll make them if you give him a sliver of daylight. So I think the Celtics were trying to defend him one-on-one, and he was just going. He got it going too hot. So they may try something a little bit different, but I think the formula, if there's a formula, you saw it in game one, even though it took a buzzer beater. If you can disrupt Kevin Durant, you can survive Kyrie Irving. But you can't do that the other way around, because Kyrie will have an off night. But if Kevin Durant is going supernova, you can't survive that.
Circling back to Kyrie and the psychology of Kyrie that you were alluding to, what was it like to cover him during his time in Boston? Like how was he with the media on a day-to-day basis? Like, what was it like being around him?
think you had like a couple different versions of Kyrie with the media. You first of all, you never got him one-on-one. And back then, pre-pandemic, what you had was the Celtics are very, very good about allowing one-on-one conversations with players. You can request the player, and generally speaking, either that day or a different day, you're going to get that player, even if it's Jason Tatum or Jaylen Brown. But Kyrie, that just never worked. Whenever Jackie McMullen walked in, you're like, okay, she's here to talk to Kyrie. That's the only person he would talk to. But he'd come over to the scrums, and some days you could tell he was in a decent mood, and some days you can tell that he was not, and he'd be a little more short, a little bit more combative. But then there were some days where he honestly great. Like, he would talk and be nice and smile and joke around a little bit, and just like a normal everyday guy. And so that's why I say he's so interesting, because the everyday kind of in and out of where he was mentally and what he was worried about or what bothered him that day, it was super interesting. And the other thing is that his like stream of consciousness when he speaks, when you're transcribing that dude, that was a nightmare.
Well, I heard Forsberg tell a pretty funny story about how, covering the team during that year was extra tough, because I think Tatum's locker was right next to Kyrie Irving, and they would go up and even just try to speak to Jason Tatum, but if Kyrie Irving wasn't having it, he would be like, tell these guys to go screw themselves. Like, he would like tell Jason Tatum, like, you don't need to talk to them. You don't need to answer them. And he would butt into interviews, in other words, to shut things down. And he was a massive downer every time they would go in there just to speak to guys that they already had a relationship with. It would affect everybody just having him there.
Yeah. Like, Kyrie, certainly he does view himself as a locker room kind of like, I hate using the term alpha, but I'll just say it, because I can't think of anything else. But he sees himself as like the LeBron type, and he's just not. He on his own, Kyrie Irving is not a number one option. He's not a locker room kind of lead the locker room kind of guy, because he's too all over the place. The message is too inconsistent. And he's too combative. When the team takes on his personality, it's so up and down. So yeah, he butts in. I've seen him, those opening shots from like you're watching the ABC game.
Oh yeah.
And there's a guy in the locker room tying his shoes, and it's Kyrie Irving and the Brooklyn Nets against Jason Tatum and the Boston. I saw one of the photogs come in and starts to shoot that shot, and he's like, no, don't do that. He told that person like, don't. I don't know.
Well, did you guys notice on the broadcast the first time they showed him in the huddle, he shoved the camera right out of his face, right? Did you guys notice that the camera was right there in the huddle, and he shoved it right out of the way, right at the beginning of the game.
Oh. The funniest part about that is they had PJ Dozier on a two-way contract. He had no locker, so he was just sitting there on a chair in the middle of the locker room, and he was laughing at Kyrie doing that. He's like, "You're crazy, man." Kyrie's like, "I don't like it." That's the thing. Yeah, Kyrie does not like a camera in his face.
So John Corrales, Boston Sports Journal. There's a spirited debate that I've been having about Ben Simmons and his return, and whether or not it would be, even a net negative for him coming back after not playing all this time. Where's your head at as far as his return? They keep moving it back, and I know that there's some people in the industry who don't believe he is going to return. Do you believe he will be back this series? And if he is, how effective do you think he'll be?
I don't think he will be back in this series. I don't think he should be back in the series. I think it'd be I think it'd be negligent on Brooklyn's part to throw him into this series. And I'm not just saying this guy has had a long road. He's been off for way, way, way too long. He's had a back injury that he's recovering from. And now he's the latest report is that he's been going 1-on-0. All right. So he's going just no teammate drill. So he's only just now starting to get involved with basketball with teammates. So first of all, from a basketball side, I just don't see how you can go from individual workouts to playoff basketball in the span of a couple of weeks. That does not make any sense in the world to me. And the notion that you say he doesn't need to get that deep into it. All you need is 10 minutes so he can guard Jason Tatum. Well, that's a flawed logic too, because don't you think that the Celtics are just going to hit him with pick yes. after pick after pick?
Yes.
Like, that's the first thing you're going to do when Ben Simmons, let's just say he checks in. The first thing you do is run a stagger screen. So you run him off of two separate picks and see how he navigates that. Because I tell you what, his communication is going to be just, it's not there with his teammates. There's no chemistry on the floor with his teammates. Hasn't even played with them yet. The Celtics are not going to just stand there. I thought I heard somebody talking.
No.
They're not just going to stand there.
You cut off for a second. You're back.
Ben Simmons is guarding Jason Tatum. Well, let's just see how this goes. They're going to hit him with everything they've got, and it's not going to go well for him. And now here's a guy who's already talked about his mental health and all that. You're going to do that in front of the home crowd? Like, no. That would be absolute negligence. I think this is a smokescreen. I think Steve Nash is trying to play games. I think the Nets are just trying to throw something to distract the Celtics out there, something to maybe distract from some of the narratives that are out there. This would be, and if you're a Celtics fan, you should be dying for this. You should want this.
See that, John, it's going to go absolutely horrible. Now you're speaking my language. Right. John, I have been saying that. It's like, this is something that if he gets out there, you attack him immediately, because also mentally, there's the whole mental side of it. It's like, imagine, think of the end of last season, it being like he, his boat capsized and he almost drowned, but they saved his life. It's like a horribly traumatic incident. This isn't him coming back onto the water in like a dinghy and working his way up. This is like putting him on the Mark Wahlberg perfect storm boat. Like, it couldn't be any more pressure, and you're right back where you were before. I don't see how anyone who has gone through that mentally would be able to function at any kind of level that would make him effective against a team that is as fast and could score the way that the Celtics can.
Yeah, no. And the Celtics are already one of the most physical teams in the NBA. And then you go out there in this series, in game one, you already see how physical they're going to be. Like, you had 9 fouls calls and get called against them in the first quarter, and then things kind of leveled off. Ime Udoka is right when he said they can't call them all. And even if they start calling them all, it's okay. Just keep going. They have to start letting some of this stuff go. Otherwise, it's going to be a 4-hour game, and the league doesn't want that. No, so they are going to hit him over and over and over again. It's going to be like run blocking out there. he'll just get targeted and just put into a blender. It won't go well.
Well, John Corrales from the BostonSportsJournal.com. Good stuff as always. As I said, this has been everything and more. This is everything we wanted basketball wise and all the shenanigans that come with it, you know, afterwards with Kyrie and KD. It's been great. And hopefully they don't get their ass kicked here in game two. Let's hope that it's not one of those games where Kevin Durant says, okay, now I want to start playing, and then we go back to Brooklyn 1-1. That would not be the best, but we'll see. We'll see if they're able to pull it off. But John, I appreciate it, man. Thanks for coming on.
My pleasure. Anytime, guys.
All right. But that's probably exactly what's going to happen. They're going to figure out a way to get Kevin Durant going early and often.
I mean, I'm anticipating how many points out of Durant tomorrow night? You're going,
I mean, high 30s.
Yeah, I was going to say 40, something like that. I mean, maybe 40 is a touch high, but like he's going to have a big game. That doesn't mean Brooklyn's going to win. I mean, I like Brooklyn's chances in a big Durant game, but I would borderline guarantee it's a big Durant game tomorrow.
All right, Joe Murray with your headline.
At Best Ford of Nashua, our President's Day sale is going on now. Get F-150s with discounts up to 16 grand off MSRP. You heard right. Not 10 or 12 grand. We're talking 16 grand off MSRP. Looking for a Ford-certified pre-owned truck or SUV? Nobody sells more Ford Blue Advantage vehicles in New England than Best Ford. We're number one for a reason. Remember, the best will sell first. See us today at thebestford.com.
Go to www.bestford.com/special-event-disclosures for full details.
Hi, I'm Jim Burns, sales manager from AAA Work Trucks, your local truck upfitter in Billerica. We all know your truck setup is critical to your success on the job, so choose AAA Work Trucks to upfit your vehicle. We sell and install virtually everything your commercial truck needs, from van shelving to ladder racks, lift gates, toolboxes, power inverters, and much more. Call 866-783-6222, and we'll come up with a solution that works best for you. Visit us at AAAWorkTrucks.com. That's AAAWorkTrucks.com.
We're waking up. Boston sports fans.
It really feels like a big-time radio show.
Torture and Rich.
Are you listening out there?
98.5, the Sports Hub.
ask Nick, because he's the hipster of the group with a nice wool cap on in there. I think this is a group called the 1975.
Oh, okay. I've heard of them. I don't listen to them.
It's kind of snap your fingers like...
Yeah, I kind of like it.
Walk the Moon, the Shut Up and Dance stuff. Or
Walk the Moon band was underrated. I know they had that one single, but they were some of their earlier stuff.
Yeah?
Yeah, they're not a bad band. They're one of those that I think is like a... People just think of the one-hit wonder.
They hear the one single, and that's representative of their body of work.
Yeah, they're worth digging a little bit. They had like a couple pretty good songs.
This band actually, when they started out, because I thought the lead singer was a tremendous, tremendous drug addict, and... Just like one of those off-the-wall kind of guys that didn't care. They're from the UK, but I don't know much more about them.
I get the 1975, I get mixed up with Death From Above 1979. There's a band called Death From Above, and then I think they just changed their names to 1979. Like, yeah. Because that's a long-ass name.
Yeah,
they
that's did something. A little wordy.
Yeah, to change their names.
It was a Smashing Pumpkins homage.
I was going to say, while you're talking music, have you caught any Coachella at all?
There's nobody at okay, so I went a couple years ago because it was a couple years. I think it was 5 years ago. It was supposed to be Guns N' Roses' first show was Coachella, but they ended up doing one beforehand, I think in Las Vegas or L.A., so it wasn't their first one. So for my birthday, I went out there because I was a massive Guns N' Roses fan, and it was great. I think Chris Stapleton was there that year. Also, it was the kind of the NWA reunion. Mm. It was Ice Cube and Dr. Dre was there. And, you know, and a bunch of, like, EDM bands that I like. So that was good. I looked at the lineup this year, and I don't think there's one band that I want to see. And I like a lot of stuff.
Yeah.
I don't want to see Harry Styles. Like, that doesn't do anything for me.
I'd see Harry Styles.
You know, Billie Eilish, I like her as a person. She seems like a very nice person.
Yeah,
she seems
but
like
that...
she got a good head on her shoulders. I don't want to listen to her music.
Well, what's her performance going to be like? You know what I mean? Like I could listen to Billie Eilish, but like, what's is the performance going to be like? I got to go see it.
Sure, Swedish House Mafia is fine.
The Weeknd,
The Weeknd's all right, but I'm not going to go travel across the country.
Right?
There's too many good music festivals right now to go to that one. Like, have you seen? Well, first of all, Boston Calling might be one of the best. I mean, the fact that you have Nine Inch Nails and Metallica and Weezer and a bunch of other bands that are like smaller bands on the bill that are really good, like Rufus Du Sol, and there are a lot of people like that Glass Animals band. I mean, there's a lot of really good stuff. There's a guy named Orville Peck who sounds almost like Elvis singing old Johnny Cash songs, but
he
wears
Coachella, wasn't he? Last weekend.
Was he? Okay, I wasn't sure. I mean, then again, he's probably one of those guys way down the list.
Joe, isn't your favorite Doja Cat?
No, Doja Cat.
Oh, you like the Doja Cat, do you?
Doja Cat,
Dua Lipa.
Oh, yeah, she was celebrating the getting the menu item there back at Taco Bell,
that's right?
Right,
she
yeah.
got the pizza or something back on the menu.
She announced at Coachella that the Mexican pizza is coming back, which, by the way, Mexican pizza, right on.
That's right.
That's a menu item worth getting excited about.
To win the crowd over, yeah.
I didn't even know it was gone, to be quite honest. Why'd you get rid of the Mexican pizza? That was actually one of the better things on the menu.
I didn't know it was ever even a thing.
Yeah. It's weird. It's like the Taco Bell by me, for I think it may still be this way. You can't go eat inside. You can just order it and you have to go pick it up there. And and like the mask mandate and stuff's been gone for months. And I think they were just like, it's just not worth opening it back up.
It's not like it was so small that you could never do it.
No.
It was related
there
to COVID.
There was seating there, and during COVID, like a lot of restaurants did. You know, what they would do is they would do takeout. You could order it, and you could go in with your mask and pick it up. But I think they're just like, screw it. We don't want to deal with people.
So I was at a coffee shop a week ago. It was the same thing. I was like, what? There's no tables in here still?
Yeah.
We're still not doing this?
I thought we were kind of past that point, but I guess not. Maybe whatever state or whatever you're in. But speaking of all that and mask mandates and things like that, Joe, I did it again last night. Hopped on the old travel website. I keep checking the dates and the prices for all the weekends and football season for Vegas. I can't wait till they drop the Patriots schedule, because this is the one year where I know as long as it's not Thanksgiving or Christmas, I'm flying to Vegas to go see that Raiders game.
To see Raiders and Pats.
Oh, yeah.
And any feel for that, Jones, for you? Like when that game would be? Early, middle, end of the year? No.
Me?
I don't know.
No, I have no
what
idea.
What about your inside sources?
Exactly. All the people who give me info, the people who like to share their information with me, I have no idea.
You know what I find endearing? The naivete of John Wallach about Las Vegas. I was like, he's like, oh, let's stay at a really nice place if we go, because he wants the show to go, which I'm 100% in on. I know that Fred probably will not be 100% in on, but he can stay here. We can broadcast there.
That's a great idea. Show trip.
Hell yeah. There's no question. I want to do it. Yes. There's. I think all of us want to do it. I think all of us want to go. Am I right? All of us would want to go if we could? Okay. But John was like, we need to stay at the nicest place on the strip. We need to go to the MGM Grand. And I'm like, why don't you just propose Circus Circus?
What is he like, watching Ocean's 11 or something?
Like, has it been like 30 years since you've been to Las Vegas? Like, all around it, all these super nice casinos have like gone on with the MGM Grand, just kind of sitting there.
He's used to going to Atlantic City, so I mean, I feel like that might be
it's right.
He's skewing his view.
Very low stand. You know, hey, listen, the MGM Grand does have a Rainforest Cafe, so he does have a point. It is somewhat classy. You know, they've got that there. And I'm sure there's a Nathan's hot dog card as well that you can show up. Yeah, the MGM Grand there is just sitting there saying, we're not going to update anything. We're just going to be exactly what we were forever ago. And all around it are all these really nice brand new casinos that, like, I think that I saw yesterday when I took a look. I like randomly pick weekends in like September or October, just trying to
get a feel for ballparking what it would be.
Man. I mean, you can stay at, you know, a place like, there's a brand new complex called Resorts World, which is right near the Encore down there.
Not to throw you off for a second, but how often do you go? You go to Vegas a good amount?
I used to. Okay. I mean, since the pandemic, I've only been twice.
Okay, that's still a good amount.
Yeah, I've been twice. Yeah, I've been twice in the last 6 months.
Yeah, that's a good amount.
I went in October. I went back in October, and I was just there about like 2 months ago.
Yeah.
So, yeah. So, maybe like 6, 7 months.
What would you say is the nicest hotel?
Well, there's nice, and then there's the most fun and the place to be. Yeah. You know what I mean?
Like Caesars has Nobu, which is very, very nice.
So, Caesars is a great location. It's still kind of like a little dated and whatever.
Yeah.
I would think that if you were going to go there once and you wanted to kind of do it the right way, the Cosmopolitan's probably the place to stay.
Yeah.
Because you're right in the middle of the strip. It's brand new. Everyone goes there. It's young. They play good music. There's certain ones I would tell you to stay away from immediately. I'm not going to crap on all of them. Although I did stay at one time where I could have sworn I saw little white things jumping around on the bed sheets.
Oh, no.
like mites or crab louse or something. Yeah, I'm not quite sure what that was.
That's not what you want.
No. I'm not going
to
say the
name. Cosmo's got a great buffet, by the way. I've been to the buffet.
If you're going to go to a buffet, you have to go to the Caesars. Caesars is the best one. Yeah, Bacchanal is the best. It's like $79, I think, but it's like worth every dollar. Like, it's super expensive. It might have been $65, I think.
Still.
Oh, dude, it's the absolute greatest. But yes, I want to see Wallach out late at night on a Saturday night. Like, bring him over to Omnia or something like that with like that. It's the EDM Wallach. See what ends up happening to him.
He's going
to
be at the sports book betting on random baseball games.
Oh, sure. I'll take him to see Little John over at Dre's.
Losing his shirt.
Sure. I'm sure. You know, there's always some like old washed up R&B act that's out there. Like, you know, like I think Boyz II Men has a residency over
Silk
at the Mirage.
Oh, nice.
Or Silk. I haven't seen like Guy or somebody like that. Or Shy.
Yeah, because one of the Backstreet Boys NSYNC guys and Boyz II Men guy, they do a show together.
One from each?
Yeah, they all help out like with backgrounds. But got background, it. You know, but they all
and then
like,
they'll
play
sing
their
each
own
other's
stuff, yeah.
each other's tunes. Okay. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Interesting.
98 degrees
got left
isn't,
out of that.
Isn't Lady Gaga there too? Or who's
does
now?
A residence there every once in a while. Like her, Shania Twain,
Britney, I'd see.
Elton John. I don't know if Britney does hers anymore. I don't think that she's still.
I'm not sure what's going on.
I think
there.
That once she got emancipated and got free, she's like, well, I'm not going to be a slave anymore.
Yeah.
To do this.
all my prior contracts are broken. Yeah. Yeah. I don't think she's there.
Oh well, no. Adele. Dan just hit my headphone. Adele. Remember Adele released that video where she was crying and she's like, oh, my band wasn't ready because of the pandemic. We can't do any of the shows. And I think like Brian Adams stepped up and said, I'll do it. And the ticket buyer said, no, you won't. Sorry, Brian, not going to show up. All right. 617-779-0985. We will get to obviously so many things about the Celtics game and so much.
At Best Ford of Nashua, our President's Day sale is going on now. Get F-150s with discounts up to $16,000 off MSRP. You heard right. Not 10 or 12 grand. We're talking $16,000 off MSRP. Looking for a Ford certified pre-owned truck or SUV? Nobody sells more Ford Blue Advantage vehicles in New England than Best Ford. We're number one for a reason. Remember, the best will sell first. See us today at thebestford.com.
Go to www.bestford.com/special event disclosures for full details. Hi, I'm Jim Burns, sales manager from AAA Work Trucks, your local truck upfitter in Billerica. We all know your truck setup is critical to your success on the job, so choose AAA Work Trucks to upfit your vehicle. We sell and install virtually everything your commercial truck needs, from van shelving to ladder racks, lift gates, toolboxes, power inverters, and much more. Call 866-783-6222, and we'll come up with a solution that works best for you. Visit us at AAAWorkTrucks.com. That's AAAWorkTrucks.com.
It's playoff time in the NBA and NHL. Baseball's in full swing, and FanDuel is your place to bet on every game. Right now, brand new customers get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed. $150, win or lose. Bet on everything from slap shots to home runs to slam dunks, and all on an app that's safe, secure, and easy to use. I don't know what you're waiting for. Go to FanDuel.com/Hardy. Make your first bet an automatic win with FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook.
21 plus and present in Massachusetts. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Hope is here. Gambling helpline ma.org or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com or call 1-800-GAM-1234.